Now, I'm joined in the studio by singer-songwriters Morrissey and Marshall. Whereabouts in Dublin are you from?
From south part of Dublin called Talla. Yeah, we moved to London about 8 years ago, playing, gigging around ever since. So.
And how does the music scene in Dublin now compare to London?
It's thriving a lot. Like, I mean, I think it's difference in size, you know. I mean, London's kind of one of the musical hubs in the world, isn't it? So it's thriving with great venues and great bands. Dublin's a bit less, but there's still some great acts coming through.
How did you two actually meet?
We met on stage years ago. I was in another band. I'm Darren, by the way. I was singing and Greg joined me on stage and we ended up becoming mates and writing songs together.
I played guitar, yeah, just kind of by myself and a couple of kind of bands for, like, you know, the odd gig. But I didn't really do that much singing. Mm. I liked singing, but yeah, that's kind of what brought us together, like, because the kind of harmonies worked really well.
And you're going to hear them in a minute, and they are superb. Who are your musical influences?
Well, kind of Oasis actually really got me kind of into guitar, but my dad loved Bob Dylan. And the Stones, and my mum loved the Beatles, you know, and she loved classical music as well. So, always kind of exposed to music, but didn't actually start playing till I was, you know, teenager, 13 or whatever.
I'm heavily influenced by a lot of Dublin artists like Luke Kelly and Christy Dignam of Aslan, Phil Lynott, obviously.
Yeah.
And also the Beatles are a huge influence on because it's just, I suppose, the Lennon and McCartney are undoubtedly the best there ever was in terms of songwriting. Well, on paper they are, and then there's, as Greg said, Dylan and Paul Simon. Yeah, I could just list. I'd sit here all day listing all them.
Now that's Darren speaking and Greg, but it's because I've got you down at Morrissey and Marshall. Do people actually call you Morrissey and Marshall as your names now, or do they still use your four names?
It depends really on the person, you know. I get called all sorts of things. You know? My wife is listening now. She never calls me Darren. Yeah.
No.
The sun is shining, so this is a kind of a summery song in terms of melody, and lyrically it's about not knowing when to leave the pub, basically. So it's like that moment that last orders when you should be going home, and then everybody keeps you in there till the wee hours, you know.
It's always
you've
on
lived
people.
In Dublin,
yeah.
You know. Yeah. Yeah, it's a song called Hanging Around.
It's time to go and it's much too late. Who are the ones who live by the code and they never break? I think I know the score and you people plead one more and here I stay. On a taking the last bus home, yeah, they never fail. I feel it's time to go and you order mine. Oh, you're far too kind. Then I rush for the door and you people plead one more and here I stay. On a stay, lay here with you. it's much too late. Who are the ones who live by the cold? They never break. Who are those people taking the last bus home? They never fail. I feel it's time to go. You order mine. You're so unreal. On another day, would you still want me? Maybe this would be a better place without me hanging around. It's so nice to meet you, see you around, and I
is amazing. I feel really wicked because it's just me clapping, but that was amazing. Now you can tell that you obviously have worked together for a long time because your harmonies are taking breaths in the same place. You might, do you ever speak at the same time? I reckon you must talk in harmony. No,
sometimes, yeah we lived together for a long time, and we spent a lot of time sitting in on the weekend and listening to records, people that we admired, and trying to get the harmonies as pinpoint. Like if it's a very fine art, you know, what Simon and Garfunkel did and what the Everly Brothers did, and to be able to try and as you said, to make sure that it's absolutely running together in the exact same way, almost, so it's almost like listening to one voice.
It is like listening to one voice.
Oh, nice one.
You hadn't really sort of thought about being a singer.
Yeah, I just kind of enjoyed it. But when we first moved to London, we had two guitars and like vocals, and that was kind of our best way of filling it out. So I kind of had to sing more to kind of get that sound, and that's what really worked.
You did busking as well, and that ended up with you doing support for Sinead O'Connor over here.
Well, we found a busking spot. One of our mates noticed on a creperie that they were advertising for buskers in Hampstead Heath. And for people who aren't familiar with Hampstead Heath, it's a wealthy part of London where buskers don't. Yeah, you get notes as opposed to coins in your guitar case. So that was a nice experience. And then we went from there. We started doing as many kind of showcase gigs or open mics or whatever we could do, when we were very eager, and we went and ended up meeting all these great people in music, and some of whom were our heroes, you know. So we've been blessed to play with and support and sing and jam and record with some of the people that we would have regarded as idols or heroes or whatever when we were younger. So
you get to do this full-time. You don't have to do jobs outside of music. You can do music full-time.
Well, we run a music agency as well.
Right.
And manage the Family Dog, who are playing on Friday night and tomorrow night in the Underbelly. I think the majority of the time now is actually spent on when we're not touring, is managing the Family Dog, because... Yep. They're five brothers from East Barnet, and with Irish Italian heritage, and just some of the most incredible songs I've ever heard. They're an amazing band. They really are. I can't fly the flag enough for them. So if you are around, come down, and if you like us, you're gonna absolutely love the Family Dog.
Yes, on Friday, and also Tom McHugh as well. He's gonna be comparing, isn't he, the night as well.
Yeah. He's. It depends. Yeah, we're going to try and talk him into it, because he's such a brilliant.
Sorry, we should have asked you first.
He's such a brilliant bloke for banging the drum for the bands, you know. Yeah. And he is an amazing songwriter. I mean, for the whatever the Fiverr or free entry or whatever it is to get in there, you really do get your money's worth, or you get a serious night of entertainment, you know.
If you love music and you want to hear bands like this, you need to start buying your music.
Yeah. Well, if you think of, you know, Back when the music industry was booming, you had these record company executives who were investing in the working class bands, you know, who were kind of who couldn't afford to do it, but actually had a brilliant message and something to say. And you know, now the reason why our airwaves are completely clogged with mundane, pointless music is because
you're gonna swear then.
Yeah. it's because you don't have any music coming out of a council estate, or you don't have any, because people can't afford to do it anymore, you know. So the people with the best home equipment or whatever are the ones who are putting the records out, or, you know, and the people who can afford to fund it. So that, I suppose, that's why you should support local bands and people who are struggling, and if you believe in a band, invest in them. That's what I think, you know.
Songwriting, how do you put songs together? Do you both sort of come up with guitar lines or vocals or lyrics, or do you always work together, or does it work differently every time?
I'd probably write the bones of the songs for the majority of the time, the lyrics and melody. And Greg wrote a song on the last record, and we co-wrote All Three on the first record as well. But yeah, I suppose it depends. Every song is different. Some are more collaborative than others, you know. Lyrically, I think I'd write the majority of the lyrics because I like to talk.
What is the lyric that you wrote where you went, that is a brilliant lyric, and that's come from me? So what song was it, and what lyric was it for you?
I could get all spiritual and hippie about it and say that I captured the songs, or they landed on me, and yeah, I don't know. I don't really know. There's a few different ones. Oh, one that kind of jumped out and surprised myself with it was it's very deep. It was when I had the fear after a 4-day session, and I was questioning my existence. And I wrote it's a song called "The Past 4 Days." We should play that actually if you fancy it. Yeah. Am I a project, an insect of God, or a result of science? And I thought that was pretty cool. But yeah, there's loads of different ones. There's happy songs as well, with positive messages in it. Don't lose sleep over something that can help you in a dream. That's
a good one.
Bit of a mantra in mind, but yeah.
So do you write your best songs when you're happy or when you're sad, or does it not matter?
They always come from a place of discomfort. So like when you're outside of your comfort zone, if you're feeling a bit anxious, or if you're feeling it, they never come when you're at your most content. So it could be when you're on either end of the scale, whether it be extreme happiness or extreme sadness. That's what I find, you know, where you're at your most creative. I'll play this one for Sue. This is a song called "Pack Up, Lady."
Pack up, lady, get your ticket money and we're gone anywhere out of here. La 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 la. Enough to push me out, to bite the bullet and leave this town. It was relatively easy, the wise one said to me, roll some balls and leave your worries on the green. Pack up, lady, get your ticket money and we're gone. And our song went bump. So amazing, we think we could have struggled for so long, and we floated on, bum, bum, ba-da-dum. It's all the statements in the news and all the lies, the money worry left us blues enough. love to cry. So without getting frustrated, I phone Squidler up to say, leave your job and leave your worries on the green. Pack up, lady, get your ticket money and we go. And our song went bump, bump, bada dum. So amazing to think we could have struggled for so long. And we floated on bump, bump, bada dum.
You better do a round of applause as well. Woo! Yay! That's better. That was again fantastic. You can really tell you guys gig so much because it's just so perfect.
Thank you.
So you're gigging all over the place. You're in. You're gigging tomorrow night.
Yeah, we're in Hoxton in a trendy part of London tomorrow night in the Underbelly, or it's got a different name.
GG's, I think.
GG's,
yeah.
GG's. That's where we are. And then we're in the United Brethren on Friday, which is probably closer to where listeners, for your listeners. Doors are 7:30, and then Tom McHugh is opening the show, and then we're going to play as acoustic duo, so what you heard there, and then the Family Dog will be on with a full band.
Liam Gallagher had his quality of songwriting and production behind his solo debut, he would have been carried at shoulder height through the streets of Manchester City by now. What a lovely review. You've got some great reviews on your website as
I'm
well.
I'm really glad my mum said that.
It's not your mum, it's not. So tell us about, you had the debut album And So It Began, which was released in 2014, and then the second album, We Rise, which again had a fantastic response.
So both of them were recorded in the same studio. With John Reynolds in Queen's Park, and John produced Sinead O'Connor and Damien Dempsey and worked with loads of other bands. And the first album was, our intention was to play acoustically and maybe just put some little colourful instruments on top, like cello or violin or something, but we all kind of got carried away, and the musicians that we had at hand were just some of the best in the world, so we wanted them drumming and playing bass and keys and whatever else on it, so it ended up becoming a full band album. Our intention for the second album was to really strip it back and go back to what we wanted to do, and that album ended up being even heavier than the first album, so there were more instruments and more musicians, so you never know, we might one day sit down and write a closely knit harmony album, you know. We don't really want to put any pressure on ourselves. I think at the moment we're just really enjoying the management side and the agency side of things, and touring around and playing without any pressure of another album, because I think you can kind of get, you can get lost in deadlines and stuff like that, and that's not really what it's all about, you know. It's about doing whatever, it's about creating to make yourself and other people happy, and I don't think you can really put a time limit on that or a deadline on that. So I think when we have something that we feel is good enough to put out, then we'll go and do that, you know. But that's kind of where we're at the moment. We're just enjoying ourselves.
Now, you're going to leave us on a song. Tell us about this one and what album it's from.
I quoted one of the lyrics from the song earlier on, a song called The Mantra. And this is from the first album. And I was into getting mad into Buddhist mantras and chanting and stuff like that, sort of Ravi Shankar and George Harrison inspired, and decided to put this kind of healing mantra on the front of this next song, which is a song called We Are One, which is where that lyric is from. So it's the mantra / We Are One, and so it began.
Te ata om bekande mahabekande randai samugate soha. Te ata om bekande Bekande, mahabekande, randai samugate soha. Te ata om bekande, bekande, mahabekande, randai samugate soha. So don't lose sleep over something that can help you in a dream. Sight of positivity, it makes our world so clean. Tell the one you love that you love the one you love, and tell yourself. And if you find yourself alone, don't be afraid to ask the world for help. Someone who can help you in your dreams.